Groundwater is one of the world's most extracted resources. About 70% is used for agriculture, and nearly half of the world's drinking water comes from groundwater sources as well. Managed Aquifer Recharge, in short MAR, offers a strategic approach to contribute to the protection and sustainable use of groundwater, from coastal to urban to agricultural contexts. Which traditional techniques have inspired MAR, and how is it implemented today? And how does MAR support water and food security from the local to the national level? I will discuss these questions in today's episode of the Trent Observatory on Water podcast. My name is Lily Auftenbrinke. I'm your host and consultant in the Water and Biodiversity Program at Adelphi, a Berlin-based think tank implementing the Trent Observatory on Water for the Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation, in short SDC. With me today, I welcome our guest, Dr. Karen Wilhold. With a background in engineering and over 25 years of practical experience, she dedicated her career to advancing knowledge and practices around groundwater. She worked extensively to promote international cooperation on groundwater, including through the international network GRIP. Currently, she is a director of the consultancy company Water Cycle Innovation and works as a consultant for UNESCO, the World Bank and others. With SDC, Dr. Karen Wilhold looks back on a long-standing, primarily project-based relationship. Most recently, she participated as keynote speaker at the launch event of SCC's Learning Journey on Groundwater. Welcome, Karen. I'm very glad to have you here in today's podcast episode. Please tell us something about your background. What made you choose your current path?
Thank you, Lily. So, yeah, my professional background is engineering, both civil and chemical engineering. But in my professional life, I've primarily been working within environmental issues, water environment, and specifically groundwater over my about 25 years of career, because of the strong need for more knowledge on groundwater. And also because I'm from Denmark, where there's a lot of focus on groundwater. We only use groundwater 100% for all our water uses. And so we have a very strong kind of professional community in the field. And I realized that that was required and so much needed.
Thank you, Karen. That is very impressive. So one topic that is closely linked to groundwater is Managed Aquifer Recharge, in short, MAR. Can you please briefly describe what it is and in which context it is used?
Yes, thank you. So Managed Aquifer Recharge is a broad term, you can call it, for various methods to deliberately with intention, increase the recharge of groundwater to aquifers. And the basic or the major objective of that is to increase the storage of water underground to enhance water security for subsequent use. And it's serving a lot of different countries nowadays in terms of supporting the water security, in terms of supporting the climate resilience and basic water supply for many different purposes. So it's a growing field. So technologies can be quite simple in terms of basically having a small pond where you try to collect more water to get the water into the ground. Or it can be very advanced where you inject the water into deep wells and you put pressure on maybe to get it into the aquifers. And then subsequently you can extract that water, for instance, for emergency use. So this approach has a lot of different applications and can be applied strategically for solving climate change problems, for instance.
So what do you think, or what would you say, why is it important to distinguish between the global north and the global south when we look at MAR implementations? And you can also give practical examples from your experience, because I know you have a lot.
We had more challenges basically in developing countries or in the global south. I think it's important to say that some of these schemes should be considered as solution to multiple use of water, because oftentimes communities don't distinguish between taking water for one purpose or the other. And so when you implement MAR, they should preferably be implemented so that they can satisfy different needs, both for agriculture and for domestic water use, for cattle and watering and so on, especially for the very poor communities. There's a couple of examples I could mention, like Israel. Israel is one of the sort of key examples where MAR is implemented at a relatively large scale. So 50% of their agricultural water is coming from Managed Aquifer Recharge. And most of that water is coming from treated wastewater. So they use about 75% of their wastewater for reuse in Israel. So it's quite substantial. And water quality becomes, of course, a critical aspect when we talk about reuse and also within agriculture. But they're keeping very good control of that. They're very strong in the technology approaches, so they can deal with that. Another example could be Spain and California. So Spain has also quite expansive managed aquifer recharge schemes within agriculture in some of the quite dry areas. Like Israel is also very dry, so this is a very strategic way to enhance food security. Also California, very dry, and also very advanced in terms of managed aquifer recharge.
Thank you for this great overview, Karen. We have already learned that MAR and its application goes hand in hand with some context-specific requirements. I would now like to look at the topic of agriculture. Maybe you can explain how MAR is used by smallholders by providing some examples.
Yes. So traditionally, I think I would like to start there. The capture of rainwater for agriculture has been very important for smallholders across the global south, whether it's Africa or Asia or other countries. And this, you can say, is kind of a precursor to MAR, because what rainwater harvesting does is oftentimes augment the water storage in the ground, in the soil, and maybe also in the aquifers. So with time, MAR has come into that to further advance these technologies. The new MAR is maybe more related to cases like what we call sand dams, and also some of these river capturing systems. Sand dams is a particular thing to Africa, especially in Kenya, where they are putting a plug or a weir inside a normally dry river, which runs intermittently during the wet season. And it also oftentimes carries a lot of sediment. And with time, these weirs collect sediments on the backside of the weir. And those systems then collect water as well, which eventually becomes like an artificial aquifer in that sand material that is collected. And these systems have become quite successful. They've been implemented in a lot of places, and they function to support communities for water supply for various uses. So it's a very well-adapted measure, you can say, but it's not really been applied by the farmers themselves. So oftentimes they get support from NGOs or from other development partners. But again, if implemented well, they can maintain them themselves and get a lot of socioeconomic benefits out of it.
Development partners is indeed a good keyword. What would you say is the best way to support smallholders in implementing MAR?
I mentioned already the sand dams, and that's one example. With sort of increasing climate change, increasing population and so on, there's a realized need for more food production, like in sub-Saharan Africa. And there's a kind of a drive towards supporting smallholder farmers in benefiting more from irrigation, because irrigation is basically one of the main factors that can enhance their resilience and also the food security of communities. And at the moment, the level of irrigation in sub-Saharan Africa is very low relative to other countries in the global south. And so, for instance, the World Bank is now engaging quite substantially in this field with this particular purpose. And they call this farmer-led irrigation development. And the connotation of that is that farmers are actually sort of driving this development themselves. But oftentimes they do not have the funds or the technologies or the capacities to actually get started. And so this is where the World Bank comes in as an enabler to combat some of those barriers that exist for the farmers. So you can say on one hand, it's a support to the development of irrigation. But in that context, there's also support towards managed aquifer recharge. And the idea here is that as you develop groundwater, you also need to think of how to supplement that resource as it's being used. And that can be done seasonally in many cases in sub-Saharan Africa by collecting rainwater somehow structurally and get it underground. And doing that together is also very beneficial, because farmers may have larger incentives to engage in these things if they get support for both and they can see the benefits of it.
To summarize, it can be said that a holistic approach is being pursued here, in which different interests and needs are brought together. Finally, let's take a look at the bigger picture. How can MAR improve food security?
When we talk about irrigation and food security, it also can play a larger role than it does today. Broadly speaking, MAR is not a large-scale solution. If you summarize, I think some people calculated that it's about 1% of the global groundwater abstraction that is coming from MAR, or is equivalent to what MAR is generating. It's about 10 million cubic kilometers per year. So it's still a relatively small fraction of the groundwater that's being used that is generated through MAR. In terms of Global South, MAR will increasingly play a role, I think, like in sub-Saharan Africa for food security. It's a very small scale at the moment, but there's a potential there. In terms of like India, where groundwater is used the most globally, MAR is already sort of implemented at the local scale in many places by farmers themselves on their own initiatives and improving the situation, but not always alleviating all the problems.
Thank you, Karen. I would now like to take a brief look ahead. How do you assess future MAR developments, for example, in the next 10 years?
There might be a bit of maybe overselling of MAR because I don't think it's a panacea for everything. And MAR can have the disadvantage of being seen as a water supply method or a demand supply method instead of controlling the demand. And that can be the dark side of MAR. So when thinking about improving food security, we cannot only think of MAR, we really have to think of how to reducing the water's needs within agriculture. But generally speaking, MAR is a very strategic method that needs to really be developed further in the future as we go along to enhance water security and climate resilience.
Thank you for raising this important point. MAR is not a one-size-fits-all solution. Is there anything else you would like to say?
The final thing that can be a challenge today is limited regulations associated with managed aquifer recharge. And that's primarily because it's a relatively new technology. So the regulations have not really been able to keep up with the level of implementation in some countries. So regulations can be a hindrance to upscaling. Yeah. There might be also this perception that MAR can support us in alleviating depleted aquifers. And this kind of approach is applied in this particular context, for instance, in China, where they transfer water from the south to the north and inject in depleted aquifers. And it does have some impact, beneficial impact in terms of restoring or rejuvenating the aquifers. But generally speaking, it cannot be a solution for depleted aquifers globally because we simply don't have enough water to restore aquifers. So I think it's a bit of a fallacy to always put MAR forward as a solution to combat groundwater depletion.
I think it is very good and important to point out the limitations of MAR once again, because the strength of this method, as you have described to us today, lies above all in its strategic and targeted application. So thank you so much, Karen, for taking the time and joining the podcast series of SDC's Trend Observatory on Water. Goodbye.
If you would like to learn more about the topic of today's podcast and other important trends for the water sector, check out our Trend Observatory on Water website. You will find the link in the description. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye.